The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they are worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed in the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree and still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Jesus, this morning in our gospel reading from Luke, challenges all of us in his parable of the fig tree to repent and to bear fruit. Else, the alternative may not be very pleasant for us. What does Jesus mean by to bear fruit? Well, simply put, bearing fruit is living a life that reflects a genuine relationship with God, characterized by love, good deeds, and spiritual growth, rather than simply outward religious practices. You heard me right. Bearing fruit means more than just coming to church. It's about how we live and treat people in this world. Many of the religious leaders in Jesus' time were outwardly going to the temple and talking a lot about God and God's laws, but they were not walking the walk, so to speak. They were oppressing the people with all their rules and regulations. For us, bearing fruit is about moving towards spiritual maturity and becoming more like Jesus each and every day. It's a process of transformation where the Holy Spirit works within us to produce Christ-like character and actions. Lent is a time when we reflect on our lives and try to do the things or change things in our lives that help us grow closer to God. Our hope is that our actions in life would become more Christ-like in our actions in this world, bearing fruit for God's kingdom here on earth. I think one of the first steps of bearing fruit is learning how to talk about our faith and sharing it with others. You'd be surprised at how you can positively affect others in their faith walk just by sharing your stories of faith. And yes, that is called evangelism. You don't have to go out on the street corner and tell your stories. Just tell them to your friends, to your neighbors, to people you meet. Your life is a faith walk, and that can help to bear fruit for God's kingdom. I'm not sure how everyone's Lent is going, but I know that my Wednesday Bible study group is doing some self-reflection. Well, at least the ones that are doing their homework, okay? Our diocese, too, is encouraging people in our diocese during this Lent to share their stories of faith, maybe even those that were inspired by their interaction with the Episcopal Church. What a novel idea that you find something to share your faith coming to church. Sharing our faith stories are all part of bearing fruit for God's kingdom, giving others hope, possibly in their life, because of your story. All of Scripture is full of ordinary people bearing fruit for God's kingdom. Moses' story from Exodus has always been a highly inspirational story for me in my own faith walk. The story shared this morning is just a little snippet of the much larger story of Moses. Yet we can learn a lot from this burning bush story. But we have to back up just a tad. Maybe you will remember from your lessons in Sunday school. Moses was well into his 80s when our story from Exodus takes place this morning. And I'm sure Moses thought God was done with him. But God wasn't done. God did pick Moses, a shepherd in Midian, to go up against the mighty Pharaoh to lead the Jews out of Egypt. Well, if you remember the earlier stories of Moses, Pharaoh was worried about the Hebrew people. They were growing fast in numbers in Egypt, and he was afraid that they would rise up and out the Pharaoh. So Pharaoh ordered all the midwives who assisted in childbirth to let all the Hebrew baby boys die. But many of the midwives feared God, and when Moses was born to a Jewish mother, his mother floated him down the river to save his life. You remember that story, right? Moses was found by Pharaoh's daughter and the river and raised him as her own son in Pharaoh's household. Moses grew up in a palace. When Moses became a young adult, he got in a little bit of trouble when he killed an Egyptian soldier for mistreating a Hebrew slave, and he ran away from Egypt. Our passage today finds Moses about maybe 60 years later after he left Egypt. Moses is old when God called him at that burning bush. You see, God had another plan for Moses' life, probably from the beginning. Though Moses really didn't want to do what God was calling him to do, no excuses that Moses came up with would sway God's mind. God made it clear to Moses that God would be with Moses in his calling. God was and is sufficient to accomplish all that God wanted Moses to do. Because of Moses' upbringing in the palace of Pharaoh and the fact that he was Hebrew, Moses was the perfect choice for God to lead the Hebrew people out of oppression in Egypt and into a land God had prepared for God's people. How many times in our lives do we feel inadequate to do what God is calling us or leading us to do? And we just say, no. We have anxiety. We feel that we're not prepared. But what we forget is God is with us on our journey. God doesn't ask us to do something and then let us fend for ourselves. I have never had a burning bush story like Moses, but I felt God's call very strongly to become a priest. But I too argued with God "Who am I that you'd want me to become an Episcopal priest?" A divorced former Roman Catholic that just started taking a spiritual walk seriously in my early 40s? Well, I guess I was a little younger than Moses, but really? I knew what lay ahead of me to become a priest. I had to go and complete a master's of divinity, including 2 semesters of either Hebrew or Greek. And I looked at God and said, "God, don't you know how horrible I am with foreign languages?" And God answered, "I am sufficient." And then there was the reading in front of people every week. I'd been doing presentations in my corporate career for 24 years, but reading out loud, especially scripture, caused a whole new level of anxiety for me. And again, I looked up to God and said, "God, don't you know I have struggled since I was a first grader of reading in front of people?" And God answered, "I am sufficient." All my reasons for why I couldn't say yes to God's call in my life were met with, "I am sufficient." Some of these answers didn't come right away, but as I look back on what God has enabled me to do, I could clearly see God's hand on me. I saw much fruit bearing over the last 26 years of my ministry. I have learned over these years that my life, that God truly was and is sufficient. It didn't matter if I thought I had the skills to become a priest. God was sufficient. One of my favorite sayings is that God empowers those he calls. And guess what? God is calling each and every one of us to bear fruit for God's kingdom. So many times, over and over in Scripture, we see God calling ordinary people that didn't want to do what God is asking them to do, but they were able to do it because God was sufficient. As Moses found out, I too found out, God is sufficient for anything that we are called to do by God. And what the good news is God is sufficient in every aspect of our lives. Are you dealing with sickness or tragedy in your personal life? God is sufficient to lean on in these times. Are you stressed about school or finances or a job? God is sufficient in these situations too. When God calls us out of our comfort zone or to move forward within our life because life has kind of brought us down, remember, we do not walk alone. We may not see God in a burning bush, but God is with us every step of the way. Jesus told his disciples at the end, when he was encouraging them, he said, "I am always with you." God is sufficient. We need to never forget that when we hear God's calling, or we just need some courage to move forward in this life. Amen.